Thank you. That was beautiful. Those of you who read the Washington Post know that there is a travel section in the Sunday paper. Now, included in this section are suggested trips for those who wish to get away for the weekend to destinations that are but a short drive from the Washington area. Another feature includes the bargain prices of the week for those of us who are interested in traveling a greater distance. Many times there is an article where someone shares the experience they've had of a special trip or vacation, one that was usually taken abroad. They tell us of the places they visited, the local attractions, the museums, art galleries, the food they ate, and the exchange they had with the people that they met in the hotels and on the street. Now, sometimes we read these details with a little bit of envy, wishing that we too could make the journey. How great it would be to travel to far places, meeting interesting people, and doing fun things. Sometimes we simply want to get away, away from the demands of the daily routine. And it really doesn't matter where we go, the destination being any place other than where we are. Now, when we think about a journey, we realize that it is simply the process we go through to get from one place to another, to go from point A to point B, from where we are to where we want to be. And you know, this can apply to any experience in life. Once I heard an individual describe those years that he spent earning his PhD. He called it a difficult journey, but he made it, and in the end, that's all that mattered. An individual was celebrating her 90th birthday. She looked back and she called it a wonderful journey, one that went by far too quickly. When it comes to our spiritual life, sometimes we refer to it as a journey or as being on the path. Now, when we first consider this way of life, it is new to us. So to live in this way, we need to be in a different place of understanding than we currently are. In that place of awareness that allows us to go from where we are to that place where we want to be. Now, even though we understand this is our spiritual development we are talking about, we may still think of it as going from point A to point B. But at this time, we also realize that this process takes place in our consciousness. Our Bible teachers would tell us that the process is one of unfoldment, going from the Adam awareness of life to Christ consciousness. Yes, we are eager to begin this journey. And we begin right where we are, because you see, that really is all that we can do. So at first, we concern ourselves with finding the way that leads to the path that then unfolds as the journey. Remember the individual, the one who wanted to earn his PhD? He first had to discover the way that would lead to his goal, to his destination. The first step was to choose the appropriate college or university to attend. This was a very important step because, you see, the college or university of choice would be the way that provided the path of unfoldment that he would later describe as the difficult journey. Now, I dare say that our founders went through a very similar process. We are told that Melinda Kramer and the Brooks sisters suffered from health and financial difficulties. Their desire was to find a better way out of their situation. You might say that their goal or destination was a better quality of life. Through exposure to the work of Emma Curtis Hopkins, they discovered the way to be a spiritual one. The study and the practice of principle became the path that would unfold as the teaching of divine science. Many of us have a favorite author. One such author is Joel Goldsmith. He too discovered his way to be the spiritual one. And his particular path was the teaching called Christian Science. This path of unfoldment led to his work as a practitioner. But at some point, he determined that while his way was the spiritual one, that the path he was on was no longer the one for him. It was no longer in agreement with his inner prompting. And so he went in search of the path that was compatible with where he was now in consciousness. And in his time of stillness, his time of personal contemplation, he discovered the infinite way. Another author went in a different direction, and he called his discovery the way out. Irvin Gregg, an early divine science minister in Denver, he taught a class that was called the Divine Science Way. Now, for many of us who were new to divine science, reading his book was a wonderful place for us to begin our study. When we first begin our spiritual work, we study the words of those who have found a way, trying to discover the path that worked for them. You see, we really haven't quite discovered our own yet, so we look to see what others have done. But we do this in many areas of life. For instance, in our time of leisure, when we first contemplate our vacation, we may consult the travel section in the Washington Post just to read about what others have done. While all of this was helpful, we also understand that what others have done belongs to them. It is not ours. When we read the words of another's experience, whether it refers to vacations or spiritual study, they are only pointers. Pointers directing us to turn within to discover our own way. But this is important, you see, because we will be the one walking the path. And it is up to us to do so in a way that is compatible with our inner prompting. Now, one thing we must know. Before we begin our search for the way that leads to the path that unfolds to the journey, we must consider our destination. What is the goal? What exactly is point B? If our destination is spiritual understanding, we may begin by saying that we wish to know God. As divine scientists, we may say that our goal is to be consciously one with God. Our desire may be to make the spiritual way of life our way of life, to live, move, and have understanding, a according to our divine nature. So the question now becomes, how to begin the process? The one that takes us from the Adam awareness to Christ consciousness. How do we unfold to the consciousness that is able to receive the words of truth? Jesus told us a little story about planting seeds. Planting seeds in fertile soil, rocky soil, and in barren soil. We understand that soil is our consciousness, and it is there that the seeds of understanding are planted. It is the receptive consciousness that welcomes and nurtures the seed of truth, allowing it to bring forth its fruit in due time. Our consciousness is the way to spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So this is where we want to be. But then we wonder, how do we know if our consciousness is the fertile one? How do we know when we are ready to receive the word? Are we entertaining as ideas in consciousness? What do we allow into our awareness to get our attention and to take up residence? If we fill ourselves with ideas of the worldly goals, the material goods, our time and our attention will be focused on accumulating these things. Now, being focused in a particular direction will bring us everything that is contained in that direction. Consciousness occupied with the world, it will not be receptive to the spiritual idea, and it will be known as the barren soil. So we become a little bit more aware of what we entertain as consciousness. We may pick up a book that speaks of spiritual ideas. We may attend a church that discusses practicing the presence and living the truth. And then we find us considering what we have heard. We study and we learn. But this way of life is new to our understanding, and we are not quite ready to release what we have discovered in the world. And while we may find the spiritual study interesting, we are not yet ready to have it be our way of life. We are not yet ready to go down the path of spiritual living. While spiritual seeds can be entertained in this consciousness, they will not take root. This is the one of rocky soil, not completely barren, but not yet the fertile soil of receptivity. This is the process that we go through on the spiritual path, going back and forth, in and out, here and there. One day we are certain that, yes, we have found the way. Another day, well, we're really not so sure. Our consciousness will be fertile soil when we are able to say, I seek only the spiritual fruit. I seek only spiritual harmony, love, peace, and life. I seek only wholeness, spiritual health, and spiritual supply. So now we know. Fertile consciousness, receptive to the divine idea, is the way that leads to the path that unfolds as our spiritual journey. Now that we have this information, what is the next step? In our time of study, we learn that the divine seed is planted in us, in consciousness. And when we become consciously aware of its existence, may take root and bear its fruit. The divine idea is Christ. Our destination, our goal, is to know us in that way, to practice its presence, and to live its truth. Now, mystics and wise men tell us how difficult this is, to be true to the divine idea and nothing else. Joel Goldsmith, he considered it, and he said it this way: only the very courageous can embark on the spiritual journey, and only those of great strength and vision can hope to continue on the path. Centuries ago, the Master Jesus made it quite clear that the way is straight and narrow, and few will enter in. You know, really, it's not easy for us to give up our fears, overcome our past beliefs. It is not easy for us to surmount our prejudices and our failures so that we may seek those new horizons. In time, we may even find us agreeing with Jesus that, yes, the way is straight and it is narrow. We have found it to be a difficult time. And so we look around us, we consider the idea that we might not make it to our destination. We might not be able to reach that place of spiritual consciousness and stay there. Maybe another time, another lifetime perhaps, but not this particular one. And we are tempted to give up and return to our old way of thinking, to return to our old way of doing things. We are told that when Jesus went away, that his disciples returned to their nets, to their old way of life. And we attempt to do the same. After all, it really shouldn't be difficult for us to turn back. We didn't get too far along the spiritual path. We never were able to maintain our spiritual integrity for a period of time. But then an interesting thing happens. Even though we feel that we did not quite make it, we also discover that it is not possible for us to go all the way back to where we were before we placed us on the spiritual path. We may not have been able to practice the presence and live the truth with complete receptivity. Still, we did so to some degree, and we do find us in a different place in consciousness. It simply is not possible for us to turn back, to return to our old ways. We discover that we cannot give up. Now, when we first consider a journey to be but the process we use to go from one place to another, we notice that there are a few detours along the way. The individual, the one who earned his PhD, he did not tell us how long it took him to do so. He just described it as a difficult journey. Could there have been some detours for him along the way? Perhaps some time off to get his finances in order? Or just some personal time to consider if he was really on the right path? We don't know. He did not share this with us. He just said that he made it, and that was all that mattered. The lady, the one who celebrated her 90th birthday, she most certainly had a few detours along the way. While she called it a wonderful journey, there must have been times when an illness or major event occurred. she may have wondered if she was going to be able to live through it. She called her journey wonderful, but she did not call it easy. Regardless of what we're going through, there is something in us that will not allow us to give up on life. That something is Christ. Our life is eternal, and we have eternity to get it right. When Jesus told us the way was straight and narrow, he did not say if we should happen to fall, that we could not try again. Our purpose for being on the path is for the expansion of consciousness, for the revelation of the Son of God. Seeds planted in fertile soil unfold to their full potential. Just like those seeds planted in your garden, they require a period of gestation before they come forth into their intended manifestation. But at each stage, something is happening. Each stage has its purpose. Nothing is lost. We are told that right where we stand is holy ground. Now, if this is so, then what is the journey? What path could possibly take us to right where we already are? The receptive consciousness does not expect to receive at some future date or at some far-off destination. The receptive consciousness experiences in the now. Nowness unfolds in terms of our awareness. Stand still and behold only God means now. When we cease to call up the past or place us in some future time, we will find us right where we are. Let us rejoice and be glad in that. The only thing that counts is that we have a principle of life and that we practice it just for the moment. If our destination or goal is Christ consciousness, then let us realize it's not really a matter of attaining it, but rather an acceptance that it already is, and that we may receive it right where we are. There will those who will tell us that they cannot feel it. They cannot quite reach it. Well, why reach for something that is at hand? The receptive consciousness is the way that allows us to be in this world and not of it. The avenue for expression is from within out. And when we understand that right where we are is holy ground, we will know us as the fertile soil, the one that nurtures and cares for that holy seed planted in the midst of us. Let us take a few moments and receive the revelation, God is, and there is none else. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us pause a moment, become still, and listen with the inner ear. God is in the midst of us. Right where we stand is holy ground. Consciousness reveals, I go before thee to heal the sick, preach the gospel, and to comfort those in need. I, Christ, do these things. There is none else, no other activity. The Son of God is the light unto the world. Let us be conscious of this light in us so so that it may go forth fulfilling the work it was sent to do. The only desire is to know God. The Son knows the Father. Let us know us as Christ, so that we may be about our Father's business. The receptive heart. It receives the inner prompting and it obeys the direction. Before they call, I have already answered. Let us be still so that we may be that receptive individual, the one with the open heart. I surrender the personal thought, the ego of material self. I am the empty vessel waiting for the Lord to provide the word, to direct my actions and my deeds. In gratitude and humility, I say, "Speak, Lord. I am listening." Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.